Now, by the time 1814, 1815 rolls around, the problem had gone into a new gear. But really, in 1809, Beethoven was still able to play. He couldn't hear as well, but he was still able to play. If you go to your stereos and you turn down your treble knobs all the way, so you're not getting any high frequency reinforcement, you will probably be hearing music very much as Beethoven was in 1809. So that's the first falsehood, that the deaf Beethoven was dreaming of pianos that did not yet exist. The second falsehood is that Beethoven was writing this concerto for the same kind of piano Mozart would have been writing for 20 years before. Not true. By 1809, the pianos available to Beethoven were considerably bigger and more resonant than those available to Mozart just 20 years before. The piano, which is an instrument that really was not even standardized until the 1860s and really the 1870s, the piano was an instrument that changed tremendously in Beethoven's own lifetime. This, I think, as much as any reason, accounts for the change, for the development of Beethoven's piano music from its early style to its later style. Certainly the expressive language changes, and that's part of the internal alteration of Beethoven's musical style. But the actual use of the instrument is because he had bigger and more resonant instruments available to him. Now, did Beethoven dream of a 9.5-foot Hamburg Steinway Grand? If he did, it was a damp dream, but somehow we doubt it. Did he hope and ask for ever bigger and more sonorous pianos from makers like Stryker and Graf and Broadwood? Yes, he did ask all the time, and for the most part, he got what he wanted. This brings us to the conclusion of our examination of Movement 1. When we return, we will embark upon Movement 2. We begin our examination of the second movement now of Beethoven's fifth piano concerto, Opus 73. Having finished this long and dramatic first movement, we need a lyric break. We need some respite from the rigors of intellectual and emotional change, and we get it. It's a marvelous and beautiful movement. We have two new movements up on the board now. In extreme shorthand, the second movement goes across the top of our board, and then we've got our third movement to listen to following the second. Now, before we get into the melodic detail of the second movement, it's important, although difficult, but nevertheless, it's important that we talk briefly about the harmonic language of the second movement. Because again, for Beethoven, harmonic structure is as important as melodic structure. For the general listener, we tend to hear what's on top, the melodies. The human voice-like aspect in any piece of music will be that aspect we will notice most readily. But from a structural point of view, and of course from a compositional point of view, the foundations, the inner walls, what makes a piece stand up are as important and as interesting sometimes as what happens on the facade. And it's very important in Beethoven's case especially to understand harmony, because harmony often affects the expressive message in a piece of music. For example, just in the first movement, we talked about the fact that in the second exposition, in the second theme, the piano began playing that theme in what would seem to have been the wrong key. Wrong according to tradition, wrong according to the expectations of the audience. And as a result, the orchestra had just another reason to get angry and upset with the piano, to wrest the theme away from the piano, and then to jump into the proper key from B and C flat, the wrong keys, to the right key. So here's a case where harmony was an important expressive and dramatic aspect because it triggered the orchestra's anger and allowed the orchestra to then fall half a step and play that theme in the proper key. If we're attuned to this, it just makes the experience that much more dramatic. If we're not attuned to it, not that big a deal. But the more we hear, the more we can understand Beethoven's point, the more we converse with Beethoven, the more we're aware of the degree of his expressive craft. So it is important to briefly talk about the harmonic language of this second movement. This movement is in the key of B major. The first movement was in the key of E flat major. Now let me explain. The key of E flat has three black notes in it. An E flat, an A flat, and a B flat. The key of B major is to E flat what Kathmandu is to San Diego. It's about as far away harmonically as you can get in our tonal universe, a tonal universe that Beethoven draws from. The key of B major has almost all black notes in it, but they're sharps.